Some say they are too young to work on the farm and must be protected until they grow up. Others say if they don't learn how to work when they're young, they won't be able to work when they grow up. And so today we ask, should children be allowed to work on the farm?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 683rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Christchurch who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello there.
Folks, grandfather was an exploiter of child labor. I know because he exploited my labor on his farm, and then, as a consequence, I became a heavy equipment operator by the age of six. I remember the day as if it were yesterday because I was so frightened, I quite literally peed my pants. I was tagging along out in the field when Grandpa looked down at me and he said, "Well, I need your help." Next thing I knew, he picked me up and thrust me onto the seat of his big red farm-all tractor. "Now," he said, "I'm going to put this tractor into gear, and you are going to steer it down the rows, and I'll meet you at the other end of the field." Somehow I made it to the other end of the field, though not without the aforementioned accident, and true to his promise, Grandpa was there to meet me. "There," he said, "you are now a tractor driver." Grandfather was not the only exploiter of my childhood labor. By the time I reached my mid-teens, I had been exploited by many farmers in Montana's Yellowstone River Valley. I was, you see, their teenage herbicide. I worked my way through my youth, and much of that work was done on the farm. And so, when I heard U.S. Secretary of Labor Hilda Solis say, "We simply cannot stand by while youngsters working on farms are robbed of their childhood," I just had to ask, should children be allowed to work on farms? Here to help us labor for an answer today, we have a couple of very fine guests indeed. We'll start with Ron Gaskell. Ron is with the a senior director with the American Farm Bureau Federation in Washington, D.C. Ron, welcome to the Food Chain. Well, let's go to Zayma. Zayma, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Oh, good. Well, we're missing Ron, but we'll pick him up when he shows up. Zayma, you're not with American Farm Bureau Federation. You're the Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch, right?
Right. I'm the Deputy Director of the Children's Rights Division of Human Rights Watch.
Good. And go ahead and see if we can pick up Ron, Carol. Thank you. Well, Human Rights Watch. Tell us about Human Rights Watch. Now do we have you?
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We right. have some real interesting telephone situation. We'll bring in our engineers here and see if we can figure out why we're not getting both lines. Ron, do you hear us yet?
I can hear you.
Okay, we have Ron. Zayma, do we have you too?
Yes, hi.
Okay, we have both guests. Life is grand. Let's start with you, Ronald, then. American Farm Bureau Federation. So you're in Washington, D.C. What is the American Farm Bureau Federation?
Good morning. The American Farm Bureau Federation is the nation's largest organization of farmers and ranchers getting together for the purpose of advocating on issues and making farm life as good as we can possibly make it.
Good. And who pays your way?
The members, the 6.2 million members across the country who are members of their county and state farm bureaus.
6.2 million. So when we say like our county farm bureau, they're part of you.
That is correct. Okay, we're a federation.
Good. So there's 6.2 million of you around the country.
That is correct.
Okay, good. Zayma Korsa-Neff, Deputy Director, Human Rights Watch. Tell us about the Human Rights Watch, Zayma.
Hi, Michael. We're a nonprofit, non-governmental organization. We work on human rights abuses around the world in about 80 countries. We work to document and expose human rights problems, and the reason we do that is to try to change the situation.
Mm-hmm.
They say that human rights abuses are like mushrooms, that they grow best in the dark, and so our job is to really shine some light on those abuses and try to do something about them.
Well, Zayma, you've had the opportunity to look into child farm labor around the world, correct?
That's correct. I've investigated child labor in India, Indonesia, El Salvador, and most recently here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, while I was digging around in the subject, I guess this is a little parenthetical, but I found it very interesting. Have you ever heard of the wealth paradox?
No. Tell me about it.
Well, it's a it's a paradox in which it appears as though, in the developing parts of the world, it's the children of wealthy families who do the work in the fields, whereas because that's where wealth is in the land. But it's the children of poor people who do not have any work at all. And thus the paradox, I guess, as seen from our Western eyes, is that we look over there and we think it's the poor children who are doing the work in the fields, when actually it's the children of people who have land that are doing the work.
Well, I guess it depends on where you look, because, I mean, in places like India, you can find a lot of kids working in the fields who aren't children of landowners. They're in bonded labor and forms of labor that look like slavery. The kids I interviewed who were harvesting sugarcane in El Salvador were working mostly on cooperatives, but were often not landowners. You know, maybe you find the wealth paradox in some places, but you can find plenty of very poor kids around the world working in agriculture. In fact, it's the largest sector for child labor around the world.
Well, fair enough. Let's start today's program off with an observation from you, Zema, in which I quote your report here. It says, "The United States is failing to protect hundreds of thousands of children engaged in often grueling and dangerous farm work." And thus, Representative Lucille Roybal-Allard of California has introduced legislation in the U.S. House of Representatives to fix that problem. And I guess the American Farm Bureau Federation is saying, well, wait a minute, hold on here. So let's go back and start from the beginning and your observation that there are hundreds of thousands of children here in the United States who are somehow engaged in child farm labor.
Right, and just to be clear, we're not talking about kids doing chores on their own family's farms. Mm-hmm. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of kids who are working for hire on America's farms.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent the last year investigating child labor around the U.S., looking at kids who are working legally and also kids who are working illegally under the current law, and that ranges from 6-year-olds picking blueberries in Michigan to 15, 16, 17-year-olds hoeing cotton in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Well, having been one of those kids hoeing weeds and whatnot when I was growing up, was that bad?
It depends. Now, you know, there's plenty of work for teenagers that can be really good for them and help their families develop skills. But the kind of labor that we're concerned about is the fact that there's a loophole in the child labor law. And that creates one standard for all working kids except for kids in agriculture. And when it comes to agriculture, there's a big gaping hole that says that kids in agriculture can work for hire for far longer hours at far younger ages and in far more hazardous conditions than all other working kids. Mm-hmm. So what we're concerned about is this loophole that lets kids work at such young ages for such long hours in such hazardous conditions. So the answer is, under certain conditions, child labor is very bad for kids, and we should do something about it. And under other conditions, it can be perfectly fine.
Okay. Ron Gaskell, American Farm Bureau Federation, what could possibly be wrong with legislation that fixes that problem, if there is that problem?
Well, if legislation fixed simply that problem, it would be very easy. It wouldn't be nearly as difficult. But the problem is the legislation goes well beyond that and basically prohibits anybody from under 18 years of age from working on a farm unless you are working on the farm of your parent.
Well, just a sec. Let Ron finish here.
That's clearly what the bill does. I've got it here sitting right in front of me. Shall not allow any employee under 18 years of age to be employed in agriculture.
No, Ron, I'm looking at it right now, and it says something totally different.
Well,
maybe we have two laws that we're looking at. Then, so, Ron, what's wrong with the notion, then? You see that one size does not fit all? Is that what you're saying here?
Well, that's exactly right. You just can't take a blanket approach in terms of resolving the issue. The issue is focused predominantly on children of migrant parents and migrant families. Mm-hmm. You've got a number of workers and a number of farms that, of course, don't employ migrants. You've got a situation that's trying to be addressed that is admittedly endemic to the migrant situation itself, the family structure, the family style. You have, for the most part, families that like to work together. Agriculture itself is a very family-oriented type of an industry. And you have situations where you have parents that do go out and work in fields. Many times they want their children with them. Many times there's not another place for the children to go. Oftentimes the children are playing. Sometimes they do indeed pitch in and help mom and dad. Okay. When they do pitch in and help mom and dad, is that technically a violation of law? Technically it is, because they indeed are working.
Well, this is the subject today. Should children be allowed to work on farms? We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll pick up the subject with you. And Ron Gaskell, Senior Director of American Farm Bureau Federation, and Zema Korsenef, Deputy Director, Human Rights Watch. We will be right back. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, should children be allowed to work on farms is the question of the day here on the Food Chain. Michael Olson, we're talking with Ron Gaskell, Senior Director, American Farm Bureau Federation, and Zema Korsenef, Deputy Director, Human Rights Watch. Zema, you write, the United States is failing to protect hundreds of thousands of children engaged in often grueling and dangerous farm work. Well, I guess the farm work I did was always grueling and hard and dangerous as well, but what did you see that so disturbed you when you looked at American agriculture with respect to child farm labor?
Michael, what I saw was kids often at very young ages working for very long hours, 10 or more hours a day at the peak of the harvest, sometimes 14, 16 hours a day. Most of the kids I spoke with said that they started working adult shifts, those kind of hours at age 11 or 12. A lot of these kids are working in the summers and when the crops are harvested, but for migrant kids, they're often leaving school before the school year finishes to follow the crops.
So this is what Ron was talking about then, right?
Sure. About 40% of all crop workers are migrant workers. Mm-hmm. But I also interviewed a lot of kids who were seasonal workers, which means that they didn't follow the crops, but they worked when the harvest was happening in their area. Now, you know, in the summertime, those kids are not working during school hours. But I interviewed a lot of kids who were forced to try to combine work with going to school. So I interviewed a young man who's been cutting Christmas trees since age 12 in North Carolina. He doesn't migrate, but he does a lot of agricultural work. But from the end of November to the end of December, he has to choose whether he's going to go to school or whether he's going to work cutting Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even kids who don't migrate face those pressures. And I'll tell you that there's a real reason why that has such a price for their schooling. And that's because, unlike any other job that a kid can have, in agriculture, there are no limits on the number of hours kids can work outside of school. So it's perfectly legal for a kid to work early in the morning, go to school, come back, and work until late in the night in agriculture. And that would be illegal in any other job.
And the reason, Ron, that children are allowed to work unlimited hours would be what?
It has to do with the growing season, and it has to do basically with the biological process of agriculture. Plants, particularly as we know, don't stop breathing when we stop working at 5 o'clock. And they continue to respirate, they continue to ripen. So you have a very short period of time within which you can actually work and usually do a lot of the harvest. If there wasn't the opportunity, then to work longer, and again, it's not required to work longer, but you have the opportunity certainly to. The point is that you're able to work when the crop needs to be harvested.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply not an industry that allows itself to function on a standard 8-to-5, 9-to-5 type schedule.
So when
but Ron, does
are...
that depend on kids working 5, 6, 10 hours a day and trying to combine that with school? Would that really hurt the industry?
In agriculture at this point, in order to work at less than 16 years of age, you have to have parental consent.
Less than 14. 14 and up, you don't have to have parental consent.
But in certain places, you also have to have under 16. But the point is, you have to have parental consent when you're that young. Now, our issue is, at what point do you take away the parental consent and simply create a law that suggests that there shouldn't ever be any opportunity to get gainful work experience and get gainful experience, period, and ready for the adult world?
But we do that for every other industry. I mean, you wouldn't let parents consent to send their kids to work in mills.
I'm not necessarily sure that that's right. You know, what's wrong with a 14-year-old working in an air-conditioned office making copies?
Let me ask both of you this. We started with the original farm worker rules, the child farm labor rules. I think they came out, 1938?
The original Fair Labor Standards Act was passed in 1938.
That's correct. What does it tell us about what can we and can we not do with respect to child labor, Zima? Can you give us a thumbnail there?
Sure. In non-agricultural jobs, kids can work in certain jobs starting at age 14 and 15, mm-hmm. But we limit them from doing particularly dangerous jobs, and we cap the number of hours that they can work. So on a school day, that's 3 hours a day. On a non-school day, 8 hours a day. We don't let them work late at night or early in the morning. At 16, kids can do regular work, but they can't do jobs that are deemed particularly dangerous for kids. So in a non-agriculture job, they can't use a chainsaw, for example. But we have a different standard for agriculture. And under that standard, there's no minimum wage under which a child can work on a small farm with their parents' permission. And they can work unlimited hours outside of school. So a six-year-old could be working absolutely legally for unlimited hours on a small farm with their parents' permission. Mm-hmm. Now, at age 12, a kid can work for any farm, big farm, small farm, with their parents' permission, unlimited hours outside of school. And at age 16, kids can do hazardous work in agriculture that would be illegal in any other sector.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Now, what do you see? Do you think that the rule child labor rules should be the same for any industry? I mean, you think that there should be no particular exemption for farm labor?
This is an exemption that went into place when agriculture looked really different in the United States, when there were far more Americans living on farms. And frankly, it was just less important to have a high school diploma, because one of the things we document in this report is the devastating effect that such long hours and work during school hours has on kids' access to education. So all we're saying is, let's apply the same rules to agriculture as all other industries. If it's too dangerous for a kid to use a chainsaw at 16 in a lumber yard or a construction site, it's too dangerous in agriculture. And we say, of course kids need to be working in agriculture, but they should wait until age 14. And at 14 and 15, we ought to make sure that outside of school hours, they don't work too many hours so that they ruin their education, don't graduate from high school, and end up in a lifetime of poverty. So that lets kids work, but it restricts it to less dangerous conditions.
Okay, let me ask you, Zima, are you seeing this problem this agriculture is kind of growing in two directions? There's a very industrialized agriculture, and then there's a very local agriculture. Now, are you seeing this problem in local agriculture where, you know, one person has a small farm and they hire the neighbor's kid to collect eggs or something like that? Are you seeing this kind of problem in that kind of agriculture, or are you finding it in meatpacking plants in Iowa?
Well, I mean, we can see, I mean, meatpacking plants aren't agriculture, so they're already subject to the regular rules that agriculture is exempt.
So you're seeing this on farms.
We've seen it on small farms and large farms. But let's not forget, I mean, this isn't always a case of, you know, it's not that the farmer is necessarily breaking the law. This is totally legal. So, you know, so many mm-hmm. farmers, they want to do the right thing. They're obeying the law. But it's completely legal for a 12-year-old to work 14, 15, 16 hours a day on a large commercial farm. I mean, you can't necessarily go to the farmer and say, we know what the law is, but you have to do something different.
With their parents' permission.
At age 14, they can work without their parents' permission. They can work on a large commercial farm without their parents' permission.
Okay. Ron, do you think that agriculture should maintain its separate rules for child farm labor? Do you think farming can survive without child farm labor?
Well, I think it's a matter of providing an opportunity again for youth to be able to learn. And I think we should continue to provide that opportunity for youth to be able to learn, to work. And agriculture still provides a good place to do that. Yes, I think we should maintain a number of those exemptions that we have right now simply because they make a lot of sense. You can find any circumstance on almost any issue where there are extremes, a six-year-old working. Is that logical? Of course it's not. But to hold it up and say that's a standard and that's really what's happening all over the place, I think is a little bit absurd. The fact of the matter is we have provided an opportunity. The laws, by the way, for this type of employment weren't established in 1938. The Act was. She's exactly correct. But 1966, 1971, and 1972 were when the restrictions came in with regard to agriculture for kids as we have right now. So they are relatively recent.
Well, before, because there was nothing in agriculture on the law before
But
that.
The point is we've got rules, and they did come into play in a much more recent time than 1938.
Well, go ahead.
So our point is that one broad brushstroke in terms of how to deal with this is wrong. If you want to deal with the issue of migrancy, there's a whole different way to do that, and it makes sense. Nobody will argue with the fact that a student isn't disadvantaged when they have to leave school, relocate to another part of the country, and reestablish themselves in school again. No question about the fact that that's a serious problem, and it's something that should be addressed. But just changing the law in a broad brushstroke to do that isn't solving the problem.
Well, let's have Zaima address that issue when we come back from this break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about children working on farms. Do you think children should be allowed to work on farms? You can join us, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Pick up your phone. Jump on. Welcome back out there. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. We're talking about children working on farms. Ron suggested it might not be a great idea to have a one-size-fits-all to fix a problem that is essentially, he says, isolated to the migrant worker community. Zaima, how do you respond to that?
Unfortunately, it's just not true. I've interviewed many seasonal farm worker kids across the country who are working for very long hours in very dangerous conditions and harming their health and
education.
Agriculture is actually the most dangerous job open to kids in the United States. Kids 15 to 17 have a fatality rate that's 4.4 times higher than that of all other working kids. Kids are working with heavy machinery, with sharp tools, and they're exposed to pesticides. And frankly, those pesticides are regulated by standards set for adults. They're not set for kids. And unfortunately, kids get injured, and sometimes they die. I've talked to kids who have shown me their hands laced with scars, kids who described symptoms that were consistent with pesticide exposure. And these are the risks that they're exposed to when they're out in the fields working for such long hours at such young ages.
So, Ron, it's a very dangerous business out there in the field, and I guess I can attest to that. So should we remove all the danger from the lives of our children?
Well, certainly danger is part of the learning process, but that shouldn't suggest that we should expose them to all kinds of danger. And there's no question about the fact that agriculture does have its share of hazards, no doubt about it. There has been and continues to be a tremendous amount of effort on the part of the agriculture community to help not only young people working in farmers, but all farm people to be aware of hazards, to overcome those hazards. Equipment manufacturers have made strides that are phenomenal the last couple of decades in terms of providing safety equipment on farms and making equipment even safer to use. So you keep that effort up, no question about it. And so far, you know, the trends overall, over a horizon that's reasonably distant, seem to be working pretty well in our favor.
Okay, let's go to the phones and talk with Craig.
Hey, Craig, welcome to The Food Chain. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, growing up, they made me go out and pull weeds and dig in the yard.
Were you a teenage herbicide as well?
Yeah, just almost like you. And then I had to do the push mower. It was like a picnic out in front compared to what I had to do in the backyard. But where were you, Zaima, when I needed you?
Well, I think the real question is, you know, where is Congress? And the answer is there's a bill in Congress, and if you call your congressperson right now and ask them to support the CARE bill, we can close the loophole and protect the most young and most vulnerable workers.
Craig.
Yeah, did Craig, what do they call it? Did the statute of limitations run out on
them? There you go.
Go after them.
Well, Craig, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did that harm you working?
I don't think so, because they gave me a work ethic, which I don't see kids have today. But I wanted to ask your guest seriously, has she ever busted anybody, any parents out there of kids in this, let's say in the United States, good old USA?
No, my deputy badge doesn't give me the right to bust anyone. And the truth is, hardly anyone's getting busted, even for using illegal child labor. Now, it's not so easy to use illegal child labor in agriculture because the standards are so low. But if you have, say, a child under 12 working on a large farm, that's illegal. If you have a child working during school hours, that's illegal. But the truth is, the Department of Labor in the last 10 years has done a terrible job of enforcing this law. In 2009, they had only 36 cases of illegal child labor in agriculture. That's less than 4% of all their child labor violations in that year.
If there are hundreds of thousands of miscreants, why are there only so few complaints?
Well, it's not about how many complaints there are. It's about how many complaints the Department of Labor followed up on, and also how many investigations it did. And the truth is, it has made almost no effort up until now to enforce this law. Now, there's some positive signs. There's a new administration. They've hired a lot more new labor inspectors. But the truth is, there's so many ranchers and farmers out there who are trying their darndest to follow the law, and they're paying a price when other people are profiting at the hands of children and getting away with it, because the people who are following the law are penalized when the law is not enforced.
Well, if you're not a government, you said you weren't a government agency, right?
Yeah, I'm not.
So we're like, who funds you and all?
We're a nonprofit, completely non-governmental organization. We're funded mostly by private individuals, but also foundations, because we investigate human rights violations mostly by governments, so we can't take any government money and criticize them objectively.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for call, Greg. Let's go to Mary. Mary, welcome to the food chain.
Hi, Michael and your guests. I'd like both guests to talk a little bit about the youth of today, and I recognize that there is a class issue, but today we have children who often live in the city. They don't have the yards to mow and the rock gardens to weed and the vegetable gardens in the yard to go out and take care of, and a lot of them, if they're inclined, might get into sports and spend 3 or 4, maybe 5 hours after school, excelling in those areas, or play instruments and do those kinds of things. But that's not what's happening. And we're increasingly seeing a class of youth that are involved in gangs, and instead they spend 4, 5, 6 hours a day after school on street corners shooting each other and innocent bystanders. And I'd like you to address that. They don't even know what a potato looks like.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Great question. Ron, you want to pick that one up first?
I sure will. And I think that's actually what we're really trying to get to, especially in rural areas where you don't have a lot of job opportunities. You've got to go basically where you do have jobs. And we think work is valuable. And one of the challenges is that youth can't work in many places outside of agriculture, so it does provide an opportunity. Should they be working in places that are safe? Absolutely, no question. And those employers on agriculture who are violating the rules, absolutely, there's no excuse for that, none whatsoever. But the fact of the matter is, it does provide an opportunity. We think it's fantastic. The challenge with the law as well is it takes away an opportunity for vocational education. I mean, you have FFA, you have 4-H, you have vocational education opportunities where these kids are trying to do something. The law would prevent that from happening.
Just not true. The law would not prevent Future Farmers of America or 4-H. It would be absolutely
illegal. There is no exception in this law for any student involved
in vocational agriculture.
The regulations
specifically exempt. If you look at the regulations, they specifically exempt school-based programs. Plus, this law would allow kids to work at age 14. I mean, I don't really see the vocational opportunity for a 6-year-old out there picking blueberries or an 11-year-old hoeing cotton 10 or 11 hours a day. I see them ruining their vocational opportunities by ruining their education.
How many 6-year-olds do you see hoeing cotton 12, 13 hours a day?
What I saw was I interviewed the youngest child I interviewed was 7. They were picking blueberries all day long every day. Most of the kids who were hoeing cotton 10 or 11 hours a day.
So you have a situation.
Probably
they
with
really
their
getting
parents.
Real skills.
So you have
11.
A situation like this here and there. Then you're going to change the entire scope of 6.2 million
true,
farms.
Ron. I mean, if you've been out there, you can see that there are even the U.S. government says there are hundreds of thousands of kids who are working for hire in agriculture in the U.S. And all we're saying is they should wait until they're 14 to work like this.
Okay,
and it's all about the long-term consequences for their health and education.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'd like you to pick up Mary's question, which is really what happens when children can't work? What happens to their character? And we will be right back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, and we're talking about children working on farms. And we'll be back to the phones when we get back. So please do stay tuned. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Join us. Well, went out to dinner the other night and was sitting down in our booth, and in the booth behind us there were 4 people, and they were talking about what was wrong with their mind. True enough, couldn't help the escape the conversation because it was so loud, but that's all they talked about was what was wrong with each of their minds and how they were having trouble coming to grips with reality. And never once did they talk about the challenges that they were working with in their lives. Never once did they talk about their work and what they were doing to get by in the world. And I guess when Mary brought up her comment about what happens to our children when we take away their work, that thought, that conversation struck in my mind. So I guess I'll turn that one to Zema Corson Neff, who's with the Human Rights Watch. Zema, what is going to happen to our children if we take away the right to work?
Michael, this isn't about taking away kids' work. This is just about saying that kids in agriculture, just like kids in any other industry, can't work until they're 14 years old. Now, frankly, 14 years old is pretty young, and it's also about saying it's fine to work 14, 15 years old, but we're going to cap the number of hours that you can work on a school day or school week because we want to make sure that it doesn't interfere with your education. And we already know that farm worker kids drop out of school at 4 times the national average, and without a high school diploma in the United States, You're looking at a lifetime of poverty. So it's about coming up with a reasonable balance. And we really don't think that 6-year-olds are getting vocational training out of working in the fields with their
parents. Let me ask you this: if I wanted to hire the neighbor's 6-year-old kid to collect eggs, would that be against the law under your revised standard edition of laws here?
If you were taking that risk with your eggs. To hire your kid, your neighbor's kid, to work, you know, full time for you over the summer, yes, that would be a violation of law. Just as if you hired them to come and do some other job, to paint your house. Now, there's some exceptions to the law for things like babysitting. It's really short periods of time under the supervision of an adult. Just like you couldn't hire a 6-year-old to be a cashier in the store or to unload produce in a grocery store.
So agriculture is losing its uniqueness under this law. You're going to take away agriculture's unique classification.
Yes,
it with everything else.
Except for one thing, and that is, of course, that the change in the law would preserve the exception for the family farm. So nothing about this, the CARE bill, which is in the House of Representatives right now, would do anything to touch kids working for their own parents. They could work for their own parents at any
but
age,
not for
under
their
any
neighbor.
Condition. But not for hire for the neighbor. They'd have to wait until they were 14, and then they couldn't work excessive number of hours when they were 14 years old, and they couldn't do hazardous work that would be illegal anywhere else on the farm until they were 18 years old.
Okay, let's talk with Alan. Alan, welcome to the Food Chain. Happy to have you aboard.
Thanks. Boy, some of it's confusing. I don't know where this law came from, and I know kids, they need to be safe, and they shouldn't be working long hours, and they shouldn't be working school days. But my dad died when I was 8, and we came from my dad grew sweet potatoes, and he had a packing shed, and we moved to Santa Cruz, I think, when I was 10, but the year before we lived here in the summer. I used to work on the beach selling newspapers, And I really appreciated being able to make a little bit of money to buy fishing bait and go to the boardwalk once in a while. And when I was 12, I wanted a surfboard and a 10-speed, ended up going back to the San Joaquin Valley and working for my brother, who took over the trucking business after Dad died, and made the money to buy a surfboard and a 10-speed. And I was, you know, making sweet potato cartons on these big machines and stuff, and I was one of the fastest people in the San Joaquin Valley doing that. My brother was probably the fastest. And, you know, now kids, they're forced to beg. They don't learn a work ethic. They learn to beg. And it just doesn't make sense to me that kids can't get jobs. I had a kid at when I was teaching at Shoreline Middle School that was just amazing, dependable kid. He was probably 13 or 12. And he would set up sound systems for us and everything and run everything as I was getting ready for concerts. And a neighbor, our gardener, was looking for somebody to help him. I said, hey, I know this kid that would be great. And he said, can't do it. There's child labor laws.
There it is.
I don't understand that. You know, teach kids to beg. That's what we're doing. And the parents are having to foot out all this money because we can't teach kids a work ethic and let them get a job. Doesn't make sense to me.
Well, thanks for the call, Alan. Okay. Zayma, how would you respond to that?
Well, I think it's always a balance, right? I mean, there's, you know,
but,
you can always find...
Is there a balance in this law?
Yes. I mean, it's...
I mean, you're taking away agriculture's exemption and placing mm-hmm. it with... So where's the balance?
Well, I think it's saying, why should we have the most dangerous industry open for kids and let kids work at younger ages in an industry that's actually more dangerous than anywhere else? But, I mean, anywhere you set the age is a bit arbitrary, and I think we do the best we can and say, you know, at 14 kids can work for limited hours, and then at 16 they can work normally. I mean, you can find probably an 11-year-old who could drive perfectly well on the freeway, but we pick an age when we think it's going to protect the most kids, and I think we do that based on real research that shows that working such long hours damages kids' access to education when they're so young, and we put them out in the field doing work that's often very dangerous, getting kids sprayed with pesticides. It can have really long-term consequences for their health, including into their adulthood. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was talking to a farmer in Michigan, and he said, look, my 12-year-old son works, and it's really good for him. He's learning a lot of skills. That, of course, would still be legal under the law because it was his own son. But I said, you know, what about hiring 12 or 13-year-olds to work? And he said, you know, absolutely not. He said, my 12-year-old son, I'm right there. I'm watching him. He usually works about 3 hours or so. I see him get tired. I put him in the truck and take him home. He works 3 or 4 days a week.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. We pick
sure.
it up. What will happen to agriculture if we adopt this new law on the table in Washington, D.C.? Right back, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, we're back, and we have a few minutes left and a million miles to go, so let's jump right to it and go to Randy quickly on the lines. Randy, welcome to the Food Chain. You were talking with Ron Gaskell and Zayma Korsun-Neff. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just happened to notice that one of the comments made by your guest was that the law would exempt programs that are run by the schools, and I just thought that was very interesting, and it kind of smacked a big brotherism to me in that, you know, the schools have to control it again, the government has to control it, and then it will be exempt and allow them to participate in vocational things. And to me, it's just taking away more control from the parents. You know, let the parents govern how their children are educated or raised.
Well, isn't that the way the law is set up right now, that the parents are there to watch over and children can only work with their parents' approval to the age of 14?
That's Jamie? Correct.
That's correct, right?
Yes, but it doesn't mean their parents are there watching over them. And frankly, like we don't let parents say their kids don't have to go to school. We don't let their parents send their kids to work in a mill or anywhere in an office. We only let parents send their kids to work in agriculture. I interviewed parents who talked about how much they regretted those decisions later on when they saw what happened to their kids dropping out of school, becoming injured. One mother told me of her 11-year-old child who was hoeing cotton.
God,
she says, I'm sorry,
Zayma,
until your childhood.
I just don't see that at all.
It's still the parents' decision to make.
Yeah. So let me ask you both this. What's going to happen if we take children out of agriculture? Zayma?
Well, I think first we'll see an improvement in farm worker kids' performance in school. And remember, it's not taking kids out of agriculture. It's just making them wait as long as
you,
all of their kids.
You think without any work they're going to be better in school? You think without any work they're going to do better in school?
I think that without any work
before
age 14, they probably will do better in school. And
or will they just become a member of a gang like they are today?
Well, I don't know how many of these farm worker kids are becoming members of the gangs.
About 99% of them here.
But, you know, again, we have these ideas of, you know, Midwestern agriculture. You have to know that most hired farm workers are in California, Florida, mm-hmm. Texas, North Carolina, Michigan, the states where I did my investigations. And these are kids working really long hours, and they're getting injured, and sometimes they're getting killed at four times the rate of all.
Then why don't we have a law for the farm worker children and allow the family farms the freedom they need to grow our food?
Family farms would always be exempt from their own kids working on their farm.
But not the neighbor's, not the neighbor's kid.
Because it's different. When you have kids,
what's it different about? I grew up on a Michigan farm and a Michigan orchard, and we hired both local kids and we had migrant kids that worked with us. There's no difference in what I did on the farm as to what my hired neighbor did on the farm. It was exactly the same thing.
How old did you start working, Ron?
I started working when I was young because my
six?
Parents owned the farm.
Well, like six?
No.
My
no,
grandparents owned the farm.
I couldn't even drive a tractor until I was 12.
Well,
I
there it is,
I mowed lawns earlier than that, but I couldn't. My father wouldn't let me.
Hey, can American agriculture survive this, or is this going to be another nail in the coffin that will send production to China?
It absolutely can survive. And, in fact, Atkins Blueberry Farm, which was just cited, one of the rare cases cited for employing six-year-olds, has said they don't need children to work, that they can do fine without having child workers.
Ron,
yeah, that agriculture would adjust. There's no question about that. But it's further erosion and breakdown of the family opportunity to work and parental involvement. We think it's an opportunity. We don't think that, based upon any of the evidence, we talk about a six-year-old. I promise you, that six-year-old was not in a field, especially in Atkins.
Out of time. Thank you,
Ron,
both for joining us. And this has been The Food Chain. Join us on the web at metrofarm.com. Thank you both for joining us, Ron and Zayma.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.